everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I have a fabulous, fabulous educator with us today. And if you have not yet heard of all the amazing things she's doing, maybe you caught her on the Aspire to Lead podcast, this is definitely going to be a treat. So grab your coffee. Let's get ready for the day and let's dive in. Good morning. We have Rachel with us today. How are you feeling?
Good morning, Ray. I'm feeling great. How are you?
Good. I love the whole Ray and Rachel duo that we have here. I'm kind of a big fan. Maybe we should be co-hosts all the time.
I love that. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You know, Rachel, I have seen the work that you've done a bunch. I am a very proud social media stalker of yours. So I really, really appreciate you coming on the Teach Better Today morning show, because I know our network is always looking for the next fabulous educator to add to their PLN. And I know you're going to be the perfect fit for them this morning. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what you do, who you are, kind of all that good stuff for people who may not yet be connected to you?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much again, Ray, for having me on your show. I'm really excited to connect with the Teach Better audience. My name is Rachel Edowekid, and I serve as a principal in a county in Maryland. So I have been an administrator for 9 years now. And before I was an administrator in elementary school, I was a kindergarten teacher for most of my career. So I love the babies. I love that age group so much. And I always laugh and say, I love school so much that I never left school. I've been in school since I was 3 years old in preschool, all the way up to now. I really love learning and I really love working with students and staff and their families. So I feel like being a principal really combines all of the things that I love most about education. So I recently wrote a book called The Principal's Journey, just talking about what is the process to become an administrator? Because we know there's so many wonderful teacher leaders who have that skill set, but might not know where to start. So I wrote the book here as a way for a guide and just helpful tips and anecdotes to help people get to their professional goals faster.
Well, and I knew that this is going to be something that resonated with our crew, because I feel as though we enter into either public or private education, we start teaching in some sector, and then we're like, okay, I need to go get my administrator degree and become a principal. But it's literally like two steps. We're like, I need to get a certification and I need to find a job. And I can only assume, based on the fact that you just wrote a book on it, that there is so many more things an educator should do to get ready for this leadership role and like actually be successful at it. I can only assume, yes. Right?
Yes, 100%. And I would just add, Ray, I was not someone that ever thought about being administrator. So I think that's something that's a cool part of my story. I'm a third generation educator. So my grandmother was an educator. My mother has her teaching degree and I had mine. And I knew I was going to be this teacher for 30 years and retire like everyone else does in my family. But I had a principal say to me one day, you know, Rachel, I see you have this skill set. Have you ever considered being a building leader one day? I see that in you. And I said, absolutely not. I have no interest in doing that. But she really, at the time, I was a team leader. I was a new team leader. And I loved that work. I loved having a seat at the table. I loved working, collaborating with other leaders. I loved putting on school events for the community and seeing the efforts coming to fruition. And so I really began to think about what could I do? What else could I do outside of my four walls of my classroom? And that really helped me to get over my fear of doing something new and really stepping out and learning from my mentors and from other teacher leaders how to do the job.
I love that your focus also is on how to do the job in a way that still fulfills you. I know so many educators in our community are leaders naturally through so many different means, but to be honest, administration right now, I think, looks really scary. It looks like a really hard job. It looks like it's a losing battle every single day. We see burnout happening in that specific area of our field more than ever. And so something I really value about you sharing your story, sharing your message, and sharing your tips is hopefully that this allows an educator to see beyond, you know, the stress that exists in this role and start looking at how we can make this a more sustainable job that we can enjoy because it's so important in our field.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you hit everything on the head that I talk about in the book. I really try to think about how administrators can make the job our own, because I agree with everything you said. This is a very challenging job. I'm the first one to say that this job, I actually start the book talking about what are the rewards and the benefits and what are the challenges, because I think it's important to start the book that way so that you can understand, okay, is this something that I want to do, that I have the capability to do? Because I agree with you. Every teacher is a leader. We are all leaders in our classrooms. We're all leaders in our homes. We're leaders in our community. That's a part of who we are. And so school-based leadership just takes it another step further, and that now you're going to be taking in all the other classrooms under your wing. You're going to be taking in all the students under your wing, all the families under your wing. And you can do that successfully. And that's what I had to learn. I reached that point of burnout, Ray, in my career. I was promoted the year of COVID.
So yes, and you're still doing it. Oh, my God.
But let me tell you, that was a process. So I was promoted in 19 into 20. It started off normal the first 6 months, and we know what happened after March 13th. And so every year I just kept asking, is this it? I really could not see myself functioning in this role. It was so different. I was talking to my mentors all the time, people with years of experience as a principal. When is this going to get better? That was my question. And all of them said, I have no idea. I'm new like you again. That was kind of the beauty of that time. Everyone became new again. No matter if you had 20 years of experience as a principal or were new like my seven of my other colleagues, we all were promoted together. We all became new. We all were collaborating and leading together. And so what that helped me understand was, number one, a principal doesn't have all the answers. When we are experiencing new things, we really had to lean on each other. And two, I had to get my mental health in check. I am now the first person to advocate for my staff to use those employee resources, because I had to use those employee resources when I was questioning the course of my career. And it took outside help and supports to say, you know what, I can do this job, but I need to make it Rachel's way. I need to do it my own way. And I think if we approach it authentically now with people who want to be leaders, to say you can do this job, but you have to do it in a way that works for you, then I think we would have more people willing and ready to sign up to do it. So that's what I hope my book can accomplish.
You know, we've been able to have so many guests featured in our Teach Better community, right? I mean, just holistically, I feel like a big part of my role is to connect educators with new people they haven't yet connected with, new resources, and just new inspirations and tips and tricks. And something I really love about your book is there are going to be so many books that we can recommend to educators, to leadership. This is a good resource, it sounds like, to gift to a teacher who's ready for that journey and begin thinking about how they can take steps. And, you know, I love being able to kind of gift a resource that continues to give beyond just the initial approach. So really, really good here. Really, really good things to look at. Rachel, I would love to transition here into talking about some of those tips and tricks, if what we can give our audience to take through their day-to-day, things that they can consider, ways that they can stay connected, and maybe something that you've really kind of connected with over the last few years that you feel like has been really helpful. So we'll be right back as we dive into that conversation.
Awesome.
welcome back to Teach Better Today morning show. We are here with our incredible friend, Rachel, an educator who started in kindergarten. That makes me like anxious even saying that. I am not the one for littles. Thank God someone can do it. Turned administrator who now aims to support educators in making the transition to support a wider community. Rachel, your book sounds incredible. I know you continue to kind of pop up everywhere supporting educators. If I was to challenge you to maybe give us a piece of advice that you find yourself saying frequently these days, or you found it to be just really helpful for you as you've been continuing this journey, not only as an educator in the field, but then into leadership, in through COVID, leading through this time, taking advantage of all the support that does exist for teachers and being an advocate. What's something that comes to mind that you've just been saying a lot because people feel the need to hear it? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say the thing that has helped me the most is really to remain true to my personal values. And one of my values is being present with my students, being present with my staff, and being present in my community. That really has set the tone for my entire leadership, I would say. I think when I left the classroom, the hardest transition was not having a group of students I knew really well. Right. So instead of having 25 families and 25 students that were super close to me, I was at a school with 950 students and 150 staff members and several other hundreds of community members. And so I think one thing that helped me the most was making the choice to remain visible everywhere. So as an administrator, you have some choices, right? We have lots of emails. We have lots of observations. We have lots of phone calls to make. We have all those things. And the easier decision, in my opinion, is to stay in your office and do all of those things, right? Check your emails in office, make all of your phone calls from there, do as many things. So for me, the choice to say, I am going to get up out of the office. I'm going to greet my students at arrival every morning. I'm going to greet my families and say good morning to everyone that I see. I'm going to check my emails in the cafeteria while I'm sitting with students is very helpful because I can do two things at once and still be that presence. And actually, I can also help with behavior management because the principal is sitting right there in the cafeteria. So yeah. We have a very pleasant experience during lunchtime, and it allows me to see my children. And it also allows me to see the staff. And that's how I build a relationship with people. So instead of someone saying, who's the principal? What? Why was this decision made? They can ask me right then and there. They can see me. And I've just found so many benefits from being a positive presence. Even when the conversations get hard and when you have to make really hard decisions, a lot of the times the conversation is, I know Rachel because Rachel knows my kid, especially when I'm talking with, you know, if a student makes a mistake and I have to call their parents, they know I care about their child. Why? Because I know their child's name. I know their family siblings. I know their family. I've been in my community now almost a decade. I was an assistant principal for 4 years at the same school, now principal for 5. So that means a lot to carry on those relationships from year to year, because it is a challenging position. But when you have the trust of your community, when your staff trusts you, and when the students like you, you're able to do so much more. So I would say just remain true to your values, but being present in this role, being in front of people, being an ambassador for the work is extremely important.
Something I value about what you've shared thus far is the action steps that come from it. It's not just, okay, everyone, let's really try and be present today, because gosh, we need to take that advice when we're at home, when we're in school, when we're having our self-care time, but it's sometimes easier said than done. It's hard to be present sometimes. We have so many activities and distractions that are sometimes even good distractions. They're just at the wrong time. And so something I really value is it sounds like you must, you know, even put it in your calendar saying, I can't be in my office right now. I need to make sure my meetings end at 8 o'clock because I have to be outside greeting families at 8:15, right? Whatever the time looks like, So you're really intentional about being present by almost being proactive, it sounds like.
Yes, that's exactly it, Ray. I'm glad you picked that up because my staff knows that I'm very regimented and it takes structure to have some of the flexibility that I have. So I agree with you. My staff knows not to schedule meetings for me at that 9:15, 9:10 time frame because I'm outside. So in the past, we used to schedule different meetings during that time, and we just became explicit. I will be outside during that time and will be unavailable for meetings for that first 30 minutes of the day. I'm outside with the families and students. That time is very valuable to me. That's often my favorite time of the day, is greeting families in the mornings in the car line and getting my hugs and all those wonderful things, helping children, ushering them into the building. And there is value in structuring the time for emails. For instance, I do check emails in the cafeteria during the day, but I also will put in structured time during the day to check emails. It might be 30 minutes, but then I'm back out of the office. So
yes,
there are certain emails I cannot respond to or certain things I cannot do in the presence of children. So I do need to structure that time in the day, but it's choices. Again, coming down to choices. If I have the option to be in my office versus the option to walk around for 20 minutes and just be a visible presence, I'm going to do that. Another thing that I do is I check emails out in the pod areas, as long as it's nothing confidential. You would be amazed how many children walk by. Hi, Dr. Adelakin, how are you? And how are you? How's your day going? How's your brother? How's middle school going for your family members? So those are kind of those interactions that you don't plan on, but they're so valuable throughout the day. Same thing with staff. When I'm walking around, the first thing they say is, "You're just who I wanted to see. I have this issue. How can you help me solve it?" That saves me an email. Let's talk about it right now and let me connect you with someone who can help you. Or, "Oh, I just saw someone who has an answer for you. Go check with that person." So it also saves time. And that's something I learned from my mentor. She used to take notes and have a notebook with her, and she would write down everything. I do the same thing. I walk around with my notepad. If something comes up, I write it down. I come back to the notes and remember to respond to that as soon as possible. Or I say, shoot me an email so I don't forget. Send me an email. I'm going to follow up with you while I have the full answer. So it is helpful to be present just for problem solving on the fly alone. Just for that. Yeah.
I love this. You're not only saving yourself time, saving yourself some of those emails, but also utilizing it to the best of your ability to support those interactions. This is really good for us to consider, because I think the more you said something perfect early on. I'm literally going to have to go back in this episode and jot it down. I'm going to quote you 100 times over. But something our community really, really focuses on is, with strong regimens, strong schedules, you get the opportunity for those flexible moments. That is so spot on with, you know, members of our community who are using progressive instructional practices. The whole goal of what teaching looks like right now is to give those opportunities for voice and choice and building relationships, but having so much structure in the background that those moments can happen without losing, you know, progress, losing momentum. And I love that you're able to model that in how that affects a leadership role as well, because sometimes we focus on how it impacts instructional time. Now we're looking at how it can impact you as a person really working through the day. So it's a beautiful connection. I know so many members of our community are going to resonate with.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm mentoring people. Now I'm in a position where I can mentor aspiring leaders. And it's coming to the point where I was when I was looking at my principal years ago. Boy, things just look easy. They look like you're kind of floating around. You kind of understand what's going on. You have a pulse on your building. But it looks easy. It may appear that way, but it is the structures that allow that to happen. It's your leadership team that has things in order. It's your communication that you have with your staff that allows that to happen, that trust. When things look easy and when things appear to be working, that has a lot of work behind it. It's behind the scenes. And a lot of the work that we do as administrators is behind the scenes. And I think part of my work is bringing some of that out into the open so that people know how to do it and how to do it well.
So powerful. You know, Rachel, I would love for our community to continue this conversation with you. This should not be the end. I know many of our network and our Teach Better family has already connected with you, but I want to make sure everyone has that opportunity. And plus, they have to pick up the book and DM and message you about what their thoughts are and if they have further questions. So how can everybody in our network stay connected?
Yes, I would love that. So first, my book is called The Principal's Journey and Navigating the Path to School Leadership. It is on Amazon and it went all the way to number 3 this summer with Education Woo! Leadership. So I'm really proud of that. The reviews are in, they're positive and they are helping people. So I would love for you to pick up a copy on Kindle or a hard copy. There's also reflection questions after each chapter that relate to the work. And that's the action steps that Ray was talking about. I'm an action-oriented person. So now what? So that gives you a chance to really solidify your own plans. I am on Instagram at The Principal's Journey. And when you go on the page, you just see me. You see me, you see my community, you see our students. I'll be giving tips and videos for leadership and things that are important and valuable that I think that would be helpful to educators. I'm on Twitter at Rachel Edoeket and LinkedIn at Rachel Edoeket and YouTube at Rachel Edoeket, because there's only one Rachel Edoeket. If you see that name, it's probably someone, it's me or my family member. So we look forward. I would love to connect with all of you and continue the great work that we're doing, because it is great work, challenging, but great work.
So, so important. If any of you have any issues connecting with Rachel, please just reach out to me or anyone on the Teach Better team. I would love to send you like a direct link to stay connected either to her resources or her on social media. That's what the best part of our Teach Better family is about, is once you're here, you're family forever. So Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us this morning. And I'm excited for those future conversations of so many educators reaching out to continue to foster this conversation. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ray. I really have enjoyed our morning today and I look forward to connecting with all of your listeners.
So good. For everyone, we hope you have an amazing day ahead. Thank you for tuning into the Teach Better Today morning show. We'll see you soon. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.